Vav on the base. Last word, third line from the bottom. So, Mosev Rabbi Ami. Mishnah says in Sechta Shabbos, Hamapis Morsev B'Shabbos. A person has a boil and he punctures it. See, so if the person's kabon is imlas is lopeh, if the goal is to make an opening, would you be able to use it to put in medication and stuff like that, etc.? So that's also it's chayiv. Okay. If the goal was just to take out the pus which is in there right now, but he has no intent to use the peh to take things in and out, to take lecha out and put medication in, etc. So the halacha is potter. And Rashi points out this is one of the three cases in Masechta Shabbos when he uses the word potter and it means mutter. And all of Shabbos, the word potter means potter or balasar, with three exceptions, and this is one of them. So this is mutter. So we see over here that it's permitted to make this opening just to take out the lecha which is inside. So the extrapolation to our sugya would be permitted to make the opening to take out the dam which is inside. Some more answers. Hosam pakid v'akir. Hacha pakid v'akir. That the lecha, so we have this, we discussed the idea that dam ifkat pakid, which was it's just like sitting there as a pikad and waiting to be removed. But after it's, so Rashi says that over here, what the, we're going to now use the phrase more specifically, the pocket means it's gathered together, but akir, and it's not attached at all. It's totally, it's nekar, it's been uprooted. It's, the lecha is totally independent of the basar. But over here, by the case of the dam, sulim, it's pocket, but it's loy akir. It's not totally detached. There still is a certain amount that's absorbed into the membrane. But it's not even though it's not attached like the regular dam, that is still possibly going to be usur. Now, Tosis points out over here that you could have answered that over here the reason why it's usur is because his intent is for the Pesach, which that beferish for the case of Mappas Morpher says if it's for the Pesach, it's usur. Right? So that could have been the answer.
Yeah, he's building an opening.
Right. The purpose over here is of intent. If there is intent defines over here the Isser, and the more it raised that part of the question, do we look at the person's intent is to create an opening for further, or his main focus is for the act of beer right now? So, and we're saying that, you know, we probably have to say that there's both thoughts in the person's mind, which one is primary. So if we look at it, that's the primary one, so of course it's us, so then the kasha is not a kasha.
Does it matter that this comparison, like to a boil, is that this thing's constantly resealing itself?
What's this thing?
This boil.
Well, once you make the opening, the assumption will be that the opening will remain.
Oh, I thought it's constantly like a scab. It's constantly resealing itself.
No, I think the point is it's going to remain. The question is just what's your intent? Is your intent to make the opening. Then use it for other purposes, or just the one time to take out the lecha? So Rabbi Ami shor the mibul b'tchila b'Shabbos. So Rabbi Ami actually allowed them to do the first bia on Shabbos. Some of the rabbanim of the Tamidim asked him, "But to haluk siva ksubasa?" That in that scenario which they were talking about, the ksuba not been written. We have the lachal Ram that if a woman doesn't have her ksuba, she's also labala, because she doesn't feel confident in his commitment to not divorce her. So he said that to correct that problem, he wasn't aware of it, whatever it was. Once they pointed out to him, he says the solution for it, you can't write the ksuba on Shabbos, but he can do the following. He can give her metaltalin, movable objects which are of the value of the ksuba, and he can give it to her as a mashkin, which she would then put away as a mashkin, that if he does divorce her, she has this mashkin, which will guarantee that it'll pay the ksuba.
So this was a particular maisa where they had not written the ksuba?
Correct.
this is not a kinyan with the mashka?
It's either it's going to be a kinyan, but kinyan of shachmit is mutter. So, as much as you say it's permitted to do the process, have a, right, so this is one of the solutions which we spoke about when you have the ksuba ish and you have the banish mushers. So one of the solutions is to give the kala metalton of the value of the ksuba. You just have to figure out what the value of the ksuba is. The iser of the kala below ksuba is not for the all of the seven. It's only for the ikar ksuba. Since ikar ksuba is not very valuable, so the chassan gives her her watch. Gives her his watch, assuming that she gave him an expensive watch, right? So she has the metalton that she needs to cover the ikar ksuba. So we have used that etza also. Maybe can't. So, but this point is not karka. The ikar gibeis ksuba. The more the ikar gibeis ksuba is from karka. The only way you give her karka is by cat is. In this scenario with Shabbos, so I imagine kesef would be a problem, would be money, right? But the scenario for that I just mentioned, money would work also. Well, the way you give karka is either you give a star. You can't write a star on Shabbos. Okay. Rabbi Zvi, the star of the middle of Betchila B'Shabbos, he passes that it's mutter. Ikada Amri, Rabbi Zvi, Gufei Bolt, Betchila B'Shabbos, so he did it himself. Rabbi Yehuda, star of the middle of Betchila B'Yamtiv. Okay. So the scenario which he was matter was the scenario of Yamtiv. So the question was this Yom Tov specific versus Shabbos, or it was not? So Omer and Papi, Mishmei the Rabbah. So Rabbah came along and said, Loi Tema, don't think the Yom Tov the Shuri Hoba Shabbos Osir, that the scenario, the halacha was specifically for Yom Tov, but Shabbos is different. Do what did I feel? The feel of Shabbos not Mishori. My Shishoya Kachoya. That even Shabbos would be permitted, but the question which when it was presented in regards to Yom Tov, that's what he was matter. But not that the halacha would have been mutter on Shabbos as well. Rapapa Mishmei the Rabba, Rapapa comes along and says, no, that Rabba said the opposite, Omer b'yomtiv shori b'shabbos osur. So we have Rapapi and Rapapa arguing what Rabba said, whether Rabba permitted it on Shabbos as well or not. So Amalei Rav Papi, who held that it was Shabbos' mutter, the Rav Papa, who held the Shabbos' osur, my daitech, what are you thinking? Why would you think that Yom Tov should be better than Shabbos? That we would say like this, we know that on Yom Tov there are certain malachas which are permitted, and the tzarech over here means the tzarech achilas, the heter is achol nefesh. And we have a rule, once something is permitted for the purpose of Echol Nefesh, it's permitted for other purposes besides. That's called Shalal Tzarech, not for the purpose of Echol Nefesh. So Chabura, I mean, the Yolada Shecht on Yom Tov. One of the Malachas which is permitted on Yom Tov is Shechting. That Ein Lecha Chabura, Golo Mizeh, right? That's your Aviyah voice of Chabura. So if Chabura is Mutter on Yom Tov, the Tzarech Echol Nefesh, it's now permitted on Yom Tov, also not the Tzarech Echol Nefesh. Okay, so and therefore, even though on Shabbos it's going to be Usur, this is what Rav Papi is suggesting that Rav Papa understood. Even on Shabbos it's going to be Usur because it's making a Chabura. But Yom Tov, that's Mutter because of the rule of Mitaych. Okay, so she said, Elameato. If your thought process is right, now we're not arguing the principle of mitoich. That's mechalek b'sham b'silul instead of beya. B'sham doesn't accept mitoich, and b'silul accepts mitoich. But he's going to argue on the application to this scenario. Because this is a very specific type of a scenario, a very type of a specific usage. Do you take mitoich to this specific type of a usage? That's the issue that the Mor is going to grapple with. Elamayato. So according to your thought process, Mutalas is Mugmer B'yamtiv. You should be permitted to do Mugmer. Mugmer was they would take psalmim and they'd put it onto the coals and they'd burn it. There was a form of burning an incense, but the goal wasn't the goal was to make a nice smell in the house. So you're permitted to do a yamtiv, even though you're burning it. But what's the issue? It's only specific usage. Only people who were mefunakim would do mugmer. So why the lach is mugmer is also to do. So why isn't mugmer permitted? Even though you're burning something, but you're allowed to burn coals to make fires to cook food. So havar is mutar l'tzarech achol nefesh. It's that you permitted the tzarech mugmer, which is not achol nefesh. So Amar Lei Alech Amar Kra. So Rav Papa said back to Rav Papi, in regard to your question, the pasuk said, "Ach asher yeochel l'chol nefesh." So this is the pasuk for achol nefesh, but there's a word l'chol over here. Ach asher yeochel l'nefesh. Right, the pasuk says, you can't do malach on yomtiv, except, however, that which is used for achila is permitted. So why is it stressed the pasuk ach hashem yechel lechol nefesh? You say ach hashem yechel lenefesh. What's the word lechol coming to tell us? Dover hashem lechol nefesh. It has to be a type of a need, which is a common need, but food is a common need, but mugmer is not a common need. Only people which were very sensitive with these smells to bother them, and they would have this need. The average person had no need for mugmer. So the heter lechol nefesh doesn't apply in that situation. It's fascinating that this yisoid of yechel lechol nefesh, which is passed in the halacha, the place where it's found is in ksubas nazayin manal, not in beya. You know, the whole sugya, all of Beya discusses Echol Nefesh, doesn't discuss this requirement. Okay, so Omer Leh, Rav Acha, Braid the Rabba, Rav Ashi. Elamayata. Okay. Now that we said that there's this limitation of Shavuot Echol Nefesh, Nizdam Eloi Tzibi Yamtiv, a person was able to capture tzvi, which is not an easy thing. Since it's not a common usage, should we argue that that's usur? Because it's not shavu l'chol nefesh. Only people who are very sophisticated and are able to get their hands on venison. So Rav Ashi said back, Amalei. The need is a valid need. It's a standard need of eating food. Whereas whether it's available or not is a different story. But any person had it been available, you might like it or you might dislike it, but that's not more common or less common. The question is it available or not? That's a different question. But the need over here is a specific need. So the application back to our sugya is that
why do they need it?
Food.
But they need that?
But you need meat. Right?
Yeah,
so, okay,
but
so
but
which,
here they're talking about the tzvi, right?
But the point is, he's saying there's no more. Do you need beef? No. You could have goats.
But
you need goat. You could have sheep. You need sheep. You could have tzvi.
Yeah,
they're all equal.
Yeah.
But one's more available. But the point is, the need is all equal. The need of them is all equal. But as opposed to mugmer is a very specific need. But over here, the need is food. It happens to be this is more available, is less available. If that's the only thing you had available, that'd be your need. Right? It happens to be only beef available. You have beef. You could have lamb. You could have goat's meat. I don't know.
Food.
But the need is the same need. So applying it back to the issue of the need of being boiled the basula is a very specific time. It's a one-time thing. Every person has one time, and this guy Punta came out to be a yomtiv, right? So that's he's saying it's not shavu l'chol nefesh. So the Moore's answer is that the specific scenario is it happens to be that, but the process is the process of being. That's a shovel hole nap. That's you're right that it's an uncommon scenario, but the need is the need of beer. That's a valid need. In most cases of beer do not require malacha. In this case, of beer does require malacha. That's true, but the need is hasn't changed. So there's a famous Pnei Yeshuva here. Pnei Yeshuva. One of the questions which comes up is refuah. So, is refuah called shavu l'chol nefesh? It's only people which are sick. Right? So there's a very specific group. Mugmar is people which are mafunakim, and refuah is the people which are sick. Or do you argue that's true, but every person under those circumstances that he would be sick would have this need? But the problem is that the halacha is you can't take medication on Yom Tov because there is shkikas savamonim. Why savamonim also? Shkikas savamonim also. You can grind on Yom Tov for the purpose of food. So why can't I grind on purpose for making my medication? So the Pnei Yeshuva says that. So we're looking at refuah as a is not the average person. That's a subset. But anything which is used to maintain health, everybody has a need to be healthy. So anything which would be the purpose would just be maintenance of health, not refuah, would not have the issur. It would be mutter, it's called shavu l'chol nefesh.
The idea that maybe you could skip it.
So he says, if I have something which it's just facilitating a normal natural need, he holds that would be mutter. All people need to be regulated. A person wants to take something for constipation, right? You know, or to maintain regularity. So he would hold that be mutter, because that's just maintaining regularity. Actually, he would hold vitamins be mutter and yamta. Because the example that he gives, which I mentioned to you once, is smoking. He says that everybody knows, you remember we said this, everybody knows that smoking is good for your health, because smoking helps regularity. If the person takes a cigarette after the meal, it helps the body digest it. So that's a valid shavu l'chol nefesh need. That's why you're allowed to smoke on Yom Tov. Right? Otherwise, the smoking should be for a subset of people who happen to like smoking. Just like mugmer. The question of smoking which came up was, are you allowed to smoke? That's a specific people who have a specific inclination towards that type of a need. So that's like mugmer. So it should be also because it's not shavu l'chol nefesh. So it should be also to smoke on Yom Tov because it's not shavu l'chol nefesh. And Yeshua says, it's a tzarek b'riyus. And the tzarek b'riyus, everybody agrees, is a valid need.
To make it a little more humble, you can talk about insulin. Where in order to get insulin, you've got to make a boom.
Right, so that's chayla. They say that is a person who has an illness in his body, which he has to address. He has the problem, his body's not functioning properly.
Right, but once you get it all
out, yeah. Leave me out some of the positions. But, you know, that's a heter for Shabbos also. But you want to know, is there a heter of Kabura? But that we see from the law that you can't take medication on Yom Tov, that refuah is considered a subset. That's like mugmer. His argument is even some people don't smoke, but everybody needs to be. Everybody needs this need of being regular. Right? That's his argument. The studies have shown that it's true that one cigarette after a meal, you know, might kill your lungs, but it's good for you. It's good for your digestion. Multiple cigarettes are not bad for your digestion, but one is good. So they didn't smoke so much. So there's interesting Shuma from the Debrecen, the Bear Mershis, he says, you know, when the Yeshua sounds like, to our ears, the Yeshua sounds like totally muzar.
Sounds like what?
Totally strange. Right? We think about, you know, smoking being healthy. It's like arguing. Actually, they smoked, they smoked more like a pipe than they smoked a cigarette. But he says, it's hard for us to really figure it out, because Pnei Yeshuah lived before the Industrial Revolution. So we don't know what the air was like then. We don't know what type of cars. There was no carcinogens in the air. We don't know how, maybe the body at that point in time was able to deal with the having one cigarette twice a day after they had meals twice a day. You know, the lungs were able to respond to it and remove all of the, whatever it put in there, all the shmutz it put in there, because that, in general, there they were breathing, had so less in the air, right? Our lungs can't do it because we have some other junk coming from our lungs, into the air from our lungs. So we have no way to measure what was, whether, could be was saying was 100% true. It was the most healthiest thing in the world to take a cigarette after a meal. In our society, it's not, because the damage it does to the lungs, it ain't worth it. It might help your stomach, but it's going to kill you for it with the lungs, you know, but... It's a fascinating thought, you know, to think about that. What was it like living in a world where you don't have all of this global pollution in the air? You don't have China spewing out, you know, whatever, right? You know, right? You know, what was it like? And before, you lived there before they started regulating. What was London like? What was, you know, these, you know, Warsaw like? I mean, they were throwing out factories, putting out junk into the air all the time. You know, so what was the air like in those days? I don't know.
On the other hand, we have other things that are cleaner.
I don't know what the air, whether the air is
not
cleaner.
Not air.
The air is just what gotten worse. It hasn't gotten better.
No.
Right.
So about smoking, though, let's say you have 90% of the population really enjoys smoking. Forgetting about the health issues. Does that make you shovel a hole now?
Yeah. Right. If the majority of people would have developed this need, that's called shavu l'chol nefesh.
Well, need or want, I mean.
Well, we're also, the mufunik doesn't have to have it, but because he's a mufunik, this is something that the person, that group, finds that is a valid, you know, function.
So it's rove?
Yeah, possibly rove.
What's rove?
We define shavu l'chol nefesh by rove. Okay. So fine. So that was the argument between Rapapi and Rapapi. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, either her Rabbi Yochanan ben Sidon, also the libel betchila b'shabbos. So he passed that it's also okay. It's a more asked interesting question. Umika hayroa leiser. The language of hayroa doesn't apply when you say something is also, and every can say something is also, right? The hayroa is the person has the ability to able to work something through and decide that based on the harov and the idea of giving up sak, he has to be able to be mura and that there's heter here. But you say it's also, you say, well, you know, shkaya, everyone can say it's also. More says, do you use the word harov by yisr? And more says, in, yes, you do. Well, tanalik, we find harov by hillel shehenazira oy sheva shanim acheris. So the story of Hilani and Malcolm. She undertook to be a nazira, and then so, but the loch is because of Tumas Chutz Lord, she fulfilled it for 7 years living in Chutz Lord. Problem is a naziris in Chutz Lord doesn't count because Mirabonin has to live Tumas Mace. So when she came up to Eretz Yisrael, Beis Hillel Paskins, we use the lashon of Harua, she has to do it seven more years. Binami, another example that we have of this.
So, very simple question. So, what about Kohanim living in Chutz Lo'aretz?
Chazal weren't mechayvim to leave Chutz Lo'aretz because of it. You did not fulfill your naziris. But weren't mechayvim the person, you know, all the kind of have to move to Eretz Yisrael.
This gezeira does not apply to Kohanim, essentially.
Well, they have a din of being tamei, but the isser of Tumas Meis doesn't apply to it. Okay. Minami kihod tanya, the chuta shidra shenifsek is berubai divrei Rebbe. Rav Yaakov Omer afilu nikiv. So it's dafka that if the chuta shidra is considered a treifa, if there's a cut through the majority of the diameter of the chuta shidra, the spine, that's Rebbe says. Rebbe Yaakov says even if it gets a hole in it, a neck, then the word says that her Rebbe kirbi Yaakov. Rebbe Paskins halacha lemaisa, even though he himself held me like that, you know, he was hara. So we see that he used Loshon Hara Liyisr, that even if it's a Nekev, it should be also. Omer Reb Huna, Ein Halacha Kribi Yaakov.
This is a man-made scar on the spine. I mean, this is a man-made thing, or it's not like.
It wouldn't make a difference.
Then you would have. Would you have to look at the whole spine, not just where you killed the animal?
Well, you kill the animal, you don't touch the spine. Talking about anywhere in the length of the spine.
So you'd have to really look at the whole thing.
There's a general question. We don't check for all of the possible trachers. There are multiple. There's 18 primary trachers, and Rambam expands it to include 70 cases. We don't check for the majority of the trachers, because since Rabbi Hamazak Shavus, we rely on Roy.
Does anyone check, or just we don't? Some people like
Rashi talks about the question. Why don't we check for all the trachers already? So Rashi says that we don't. We rely on Rav not to check for all the trephas. The only trephas we check for are the trephas which are more common. The most common trephas are in the lungs, so we check the lungs. There are some shechtim which will also check the stomach intestine area.
Once it's kosher, you say it's kosher, and then they get to that part and they see, oh, there's a problem. Do they go back and say, no, it's a problem?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, the problem with that usually is at that point in time the animal is no longer connected with that item.
Separated out.
So then you get involved in the halachas of how do you know which one it is. I went to see Shechita in Cleveland. So it was a very, there was the local shechita. There was a local shechita when we first arrived. There was still a local shechita in Cleveland. It was a small operation. It was out there. Two shechtim, local shechtim, would go out to an Amish farm where they did had a slaughterhouse, and once a week they would do a kosher run. And I noticed, like, when they after they shot the animal, they cut open the whole stomach area and they pull out all of the entrails and they put it in a big cart. And as he was going by, I saw him running his hands over it. And I happened to notice it once, and it was every single time he did it, he did that. And I thought he was looking for trephas. He was checking for trephas in the entrails, which is very not common.
It's not standard procedure. Like the intestines,
the stomachs. The main issue is really the stomachs. But there's some of the. There's the animal has multiple stomachs, but we'll call them stomachs. There are trephas which are relevant in there. So the keris, which is the largest one, the main issue is it only gets a cut and roiv, so that you can very easily, you can easily check for that, right? Even though you only see one side, but it was like he did it every time, and I realized he's checking. I have not seen that in other places that they do that. Not that I've seen shechita so many times, but the few times that I've seen it, that was unique.
What percentages of the lungs are found to be,
Well, we hold Rabbi Hamas Kseris, but the measure nowadays is the best you get is 30% kosher.
Only the best 30%. You say 30% kosher.
Yeah. Or because. Even with our lack of the keys of what
does that mean 70% is treif?
That's the math, right?
that seems so.
So first of all, a few things. So depending where the animals come from, I had a kruse with a shaykhet. We went to the treifers together. That was very geschmack. He told me that When as soon as he would come into the shlatos, he would ask where the shipment of animals was from. Depending where it was from, animals which are from areas which have higher pollution would have higher percentages of trephas. So if the herd was in lower Michigan, where all of the says he would right away says forget it, this is going to be a bad day today. As soon as he walked in, he says every time that's where it came from, the percentage of trephas was higher. But certain circuits are problematic. Certain circuits are not problematic. So in Europe, they would sit there. They had a big, very, very good masseur, and what circuits are acceptable, what are not. And they'd work it very hard to see what you'd have kosher but not glot, right? Nowadays, it's the volume of animals available. It's not worth it. So they'll have very little meat which comes out to the market nowadays. You're going to buy in the store is not glot. define glut, it's a different story. Everybody has different versions of glut. But, you know, some of your process meat type of a thing, some of the what's it called, best kosher, those type of things, you know, Hebrew national, they're not makban on glut. Right? You know, so... But the amount of animals which are not glut, which are kosher, is small, because it's not worth it for the shechtim to spend their time. So the assumption of an halacha is when we check for treifus, so we check for treifus twice on the treifus on the lungs. So that while the lungs are still inside the animal, the shechtim puts his arm inside and feels around the outside of the lung. There might be adhesions there. That's circus or adhesions. Adhesion means that there's liquid. The body creates liquid anytime there's been a scar. That's what the same. It's the same liquid which creates scar. A scab. Same liquid. It's very sticky. For such a scab, it's very sticky. That's what it is. That's what those adhesions are. Well, why is there adhesion there? Maybe there must have been. There might have been a hole in something. The assumptions are that the ones that, if he moves his hand lightly, they're going to tear, are not problematic. Those are probably not real because of a hole. So right away, you take care of all of those. If he feels something afterwards, which is more, as he's feeling through, so he has a good mental vision of where that is in the lung, feels something which is more significant, when they pull it out, he'll check that spot. They check it. They blow it up on a machine, and they put it under water, and like your bicycle tire. If a little bubbles come out, means there's a hole there. Right? That's how you do it, right? So that's right. And if no air comes out, means then there's no holes, right? So that's avade. Then there's the stuff which is in between. Like, you know, they find something on it, the surface. They see something which is there. So sometimes you can peel it away, and then they will check out underneath. So some of those peelings, not all shechtim know how to peel, even not to peel, there's different levels of what they're comfortable peeling. Yeah. It's not worth their time at some point in time. So, but the percentage which we work with nowadays is about 30%. Let's just finish off the two dots. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Masni Hachi Omer Vo Shol Rishmo Ben Yaakov Demin Suri Yesher Biyachon B'tzaydon. So if we have a Yochanan up earlier said that he said it's mutter. So he has the version a little bit differently. He was a little more with names. I'm sorry. Harav Yochanan Mitzayin also the Libel B'Tchila B'Shabbos. So he has a version like this. Shmuel Ben Yaakov the Minzuri asked the Yochanan, "Vanos Shmuel, and I was there. Ma Libel B'Tchila B'Shabbos, Vamrlei Oser." So that's the story that he has. But the law is we paskin like the multiple Amoraim I said before that it's mutter. We pass like Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon is kavan is mutter. We said that's not his kavana, and etc. So we have all of these issues. So we pass the law of Maisa that it's mutter. Okay.